You would take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There is no surprise today of what I'm preaching about, right? It's not Easter bunnies and eggs either, but the Savior that's risen. Oftentimes, we refer to it as Easter, but it's more biblical terminology would be the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so today, I'd like to preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with the title, If He Be Not Risen, If He Didn't Raise from the Dead. There's lots of speculation that has gone on through centuries of individuals that have all sorts of theories and ideas, and we might talk about a little bit about that, and some of that is described in this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start reading with verse 1 right here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, that's being Peter, then of the 12. After that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, meaning reference to death. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached, that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. But if so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the good service so far this morning. Thank You for all these that are here. And no one has took You by surprise by walking into this church building today. And I pray, God, that their ears would be opened up to hear the message, to hear the songs that were sung, that it might touch the hearts, stir our spirits. And God, I pray that if there's someone here that does not know You as the Savior, that might be able to answer some questions today. It might stir something within them that consider Your Son, Jesus Christ. Might we be reminded today of the resurrection of Your Son. We ask for Your blessing on this time. In Christ's name, amen. Amazing passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is the author. In chapter 15 and verse 1, he writes there, and he said, I declare unto you. He's the writer. His name is Paul. Before he became a Christian, his name would have been referenced in the Scriptures as Saul. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, He said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel, historically, not just even alone with the Bible, history tells us that he was a great philosopher among the Hebrews, among the Jews. He taught the law. He was a master of the Hebrew Old Testament. And when Paul says there that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, he means more than just the idea that he taught me. It is the idea that in this culture that the individual that was the good student, the pupil that was learning and he wasn't distracted, you brought him closer to you. And so that reference or idea when he sat at the feet, he was learning something. We've all been in classes and the individual's sitting there and they're looking around and they're in another world and they're nowhere listening at all or a distraction. Anybody that's ever taught a class, you begin to see which kids begin to, or adults, begin to really gravitate and to listen and to learn something. And then you always got that one that's kind of distracting. And as a teacher, what you do, you go, all right, next week I want you to sit here and you over on this side, and you separate them. You ever gone with a youth group and they say birds of a feather flock together? And they just gravitate, you know. And if you're not careful, somebody will pull down the one that wants to learn. And so that was the concept. Here is Paul, and he says, I wasn't just a student. I was one of the best pupils he had. And in some ways bragging, he said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And he said, he pulled me up close to teach me and to not be distracted. The problem with Saul, being the Apostle Paul later, is in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, I was a persecutor. He said, I was blasphemous. He said, I was a murderer. All with zeal for God. In the book of Acts, and that's just the story of the early church, he says there that he shows this story of how he actually got papers from Jerusalem to go to Damascus, another city, and to arrest and haul out of there these professing Christians that were following this man Jesus. And he said, I did it with zeal. All with zeal from a Judaism mindset to stop this cult of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 9, he had the authority papers. He's on the road to Damascus, and he gives a story that he saw Jesus. He references that in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, I was one born out of due time. He tells a story several times in the book of Acts. And Paul found Jesus Christ in his own life. Forever changed him. He was never the same. If you're a Christian, then you know that each individual that is a professing Christian, everybody has a different story. A different story how you were enlightened to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it is 8 years old, 10 years old, or even in the 40s. And our backgrounds are different, and our circumstances are all unique. We're giving Brother Brandon a hard time. He's got some things going on with his leg there, surgery. They had to take cartilage out, and they're going to grow it in a Petri dish for 6 weeks or so and then go back and put it in. And I told him, I laugh about it, and I said, just be careful. Don't let Miss Savannah think they're growing another one of you and dump you and get that one. That's pretty amazing that they can take something and grow. Remember years ago, like they cloned Dolly the lamb. Remember that? That was a while back. And science says, we're going to be able to clone you. Well, let's say today that they could clone you. They could take all your DNA, grow it up in a dish, and next thing you know, inside this laboratory, pop, here you come, you got one looks just like you. Might I present to you this morning that it's not you. DNA might match up, and the hair color, and all the features, and it might look exactly like you, but you see, what makes you unique is all the things that you've lived in life and your circumstances, and you can't go back and recreate that. Sometimes it creates emotional joys and sometimes sorrows. And it creates who we are. Paul had a story. And his story is that when I met this man Jesus, I forever changed. He says in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 15, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I didn't give you something that I had never experienced. He says there that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You know, today, historically, it is a proven fact that Jesus died on the cross. Historically, that's a fact. There's no question to that. There's no question that they killed him and they placed him in a tomb. That is a fact. History proves that. He gets in the passage in verse 14, but he says that if Christ be not risen, meaning if there's no resurrection of Christ, then it also means that you and I have no resurrection, meaning that there's nothing to look forward to of an afterlife. So if there's no resurrection of Christ, there's nothing for you. So if Christ be not risen, that's what Paul is presenting in this chapter. He presents to the Corinthian church in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. then that would mean that if Christ did not raise from the dead over 2,000 years ago, then you sitting here today listening to me preach about Jesus is a waste of your time. An absolute waste of your time. And it means that if your faith in God, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, Paul says, then your faith is worthless. Vain is, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. It's not particularly a curse word, though that's not righteous. It means like, oh my Lord, oh my God, you use God's name and you really didn't mean anything about him. That's taking his name in vain. So the same concept is there in chapter 15, that your faith is in vain. It means nothing if Christ did not rise. It means the church is fake. It's the biggest imposter that ever had any kind of organization or ministry for centuries. It means we're all a bunch of liars. So if it's not true, you're wasting your time today. And the biggest joke is, well, the one you're looking at. Don't comment, please. In verse 5, Paul said there that he was seen of Cephas. Seen of Cephas. Well, we had to think about this, and then if Christ hadn't risen, and that's the subject of this chapter, the apostles said they saw him. They said they saw him after he rose from the dead. That was a fact he died. It's a fact he was crucified. It was a fact they put him in a grave. It was also a fact that the tomb was empty. Now, where did the body go? Now, if he didn't rise from the dead, then all the apostles, all 12 of them, remember, Judas died, he hung himself, but in chapter 1 of Acts, they replaced him with Matthew, so we have 12. Then it would mean that all 12 were liars, just fakes. Meaning that their preaching was all worthless, meant nothing, if he didn't raise from the dead. And if he didn't raise from the dead, well, what did those guys, those 12, what did they have to gain from all this? Well, they sure didn't make a lot of money off the thing. They didn't become famous. You say, they got a church named after them. After they're dead. The Bible says the wicked name streets after themselves. Well, what good's that do you when you're gone? I remember several years ago, there was a guy who had a bunch of property down the road. We were looking for property for the church, and gave him a call and just asked. I said, just call him, just wondering if you might be interested in selling the church. No, I'm giving it to my kids. And hung up. Free country. Do what you want to with it. I was just asking. As soon as he died, they sold the properties off. You know, the kids didn't even keep it. Something you fight for and live for your whole life, and the moment you take your last breath, they've already squandered the money, the casino, sold the property, and hocked the car. Oh, but you got a street named after you. And you're like the rest of us. You drive around here in the county and you go, Wheat? Who is that? Stockstill? That's just a common name. They forget about you. It's a really happy Sunday, you know. I mean, really, but if the apostles are lying about this, of this resurrected Savior, to go through all this, Simon, historically, you can't prove all this from the Bible, but historically through other writings, Peter was crucified upside down. That's how he died. Andrew was crucified. James, the son of Zebedee, he was beheaded by Herod Agrippa I. John, he died an old man on a salt mine on Patmos Island. They exiled him and said, you're going to work till you die. Matthew died, as history says, as a martyr in Ethiopia. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, he was beaten and then crucified. Philip was crucified. Thomas was speared to death. Simon the Zealot was crucified. James was stoned to death. Thaddeus, being also Judas, the son of James, was stoned to death. And Judas Iscariot hung himself. Worth all that? Go to your grave with a lie? If it's all fake, and if he didn't really rise from the dead, that was a terrible waste to die. Not that any of us really get to choose, but I wouldn't choose that list. Now, if all of those 12 conspired, well, they didn't make any money off of it. They had no fame. So did he rise from the dead? In Mark chapter 16, there's a woman there by the name of Mary Magdalene. She says she came to the tomb and said, saw an angel, and the angel says, he is not here, he's risen. She claims later on that she saw the risen Savior. Now, come on, Mary. You know about Mary Magdalene. She was a harlot. Jesus changed her. I get that. You're going to tell me that she had a life of living as a harlot and is going to go to her grave about a lie of a Savior that didn't really raise the dead? She'd been around a lot of things in her life about liars. I'm just not sure she would have kept on with that one. So she would have kept up a lie for the whole thing? In Matthew chapter 28, in verses 9 and 10, the Bible tells us two other women showed up at the tomb as well, apart from Mary Magdalene. And they claimed there was no body there. That's a fact he died, it's a fact he was crucified, and it's a fact there's an empty tomb. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 13, there two individuals see Jesus Christ after the crucifixion on the road to Emmaus. There's another town away. The Bible says that he appears to them and talks with them. And they said, "We saw him, our risen Savior." Now you would understand this morning that if we could find one eyewitness to a crime that you committed, we could have you put away in prison. It just takes one. If we get two that saw you, you really sunk. And especially if their stories match up. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 12, there Peter sees Jesus. Now remember Peter, he denied Jesus at the crucifixion. Remember this? The cock, the rooster crowing, and he's torn apart, and he's out there cussing by the barrel with a flame, you know, next to like a hobo, you know. He's warming his hands up, and the woman goes, "I know you," and he denies him. He hears about this risen Savior and says, "I'm going fishing." Like a good southerner from Mississippi, he goes fishing. Jesus meets up with him. That's pretty humiliating. You have to admit to the Savior. This is a story. He said, "I saw the Savior risen," and had to admit, "You're right and I'm wrong." It humbled him in John chapter 21, verse 15 and 20. In Mark chapter 16, the Bible tells us that 11 of the apostles saw Jesus after the crucifixion. He was risen. In John chapter 20, verse 24, the first Sunday after the resurrection, they have a church service. Thomas wasn't there. There's only 11. See, he decided, "I'm done with this." You remember Thomas? Bartholomew? And in John chapter 20, verse 26, the next Sunday service, Thomas shows up. And he's the one that makes the great statement, "I'm not going to believe him unless I can touch his hands and touch his side." As soon as he sees Jesus in the story, Jesus says, "Go ahead, Thomas. Go and touch it." It's interesting. There's no indication that Thomas ever touched him. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He said, "You're right and I'm wrong." So he saw Jesus in person. In John chapter 21 and verse 2, Jesus Christ shows himself to seven disciples in that passage. And right here where we just read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once. So over 500 believers see Jesus Christ. You realize this morning that there weren't that many people in Ford's Theater that saw Abraham Lincoln get shot and assassinated. Fact check, you weren't there either. And you believe it. You believe it. I went to the theater. We walked inside. We walked outside the theater and right across the street, and we walked across the street into a tiny little, what we call a little shotgun house, and walked inside of there, and they pointed to the exact bed. They said, "That is the bed that Abraham Lincoln died on." They said years ago you could still see some of the bloodstain. You've got 500 individuals, and when Paul writes this to Corinthian church, he said, now some of those eyewitnesses of the 500 have already passed away. He said, but as I'm writing, he said, there's a lot of them still left. If you've got any question, you can ask them. They saw Jesus Christ. Seen of over 500 at one time. He gets to verse 6 right there, and he talks about the 500, and then verse 7, after that he was seen of James. And James says, and I saw him as well. And you're going to say that all those over 512 witnesses were just faking it? I'd like for you to think about some of the conspiracies, some of the plots that even float around today and even have been ruled that even our government through the years has been involved in, and it leaked out. Some of us would sit here, I'm not trying to get you all stirred up, but some of us sit here go, I'm not sure about that moon landing. It just doesn't add up. Some of us sit here go, I'm not sure it was Oswald that got him. I think there was more to it. And we see things that come together that don't add up. Then there's stories that they tried pulling something off, you know. Remember back in 20, which I ain't never figured this one out. You had a governor up there in Michigan, and she was the one that said, you know, like in COVID, you know, don't just mask. Don't wear, you know, you can't plant gardens. So they, if you remember, up there in Michigan, they blocked off the seeds in the stores because they want you to plant a garden because you might spread COVID. Remember all this? Remember, follow the science. Yeah. And then remember the ones that tried to kidnap her? What are you going to do with her? What are you thinking? Who in their right mind wants her? Come on, you laugh. It's all right. We have fun around here. And then it all, you give it time, and then it began to leak. Some of those were government plants among those guys, and they were trying to set other guys up. It was a conspiracy. It leaked out. You going to tell me that 512 people conspired and schemed this whole thing up, and it never leaked out? Nobody ever cracked the case? So they all believe it. They believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, again, we still got to figure out, how do you explain the empty tomb? There's no body. There's no physical body anymore. Pilate said, set a guard. Puts two soldiers out there, guard the tomb. Now, this is the guy that had the power to kill anybody at whim. He has power. Fast forward a little bit. By 125 AD, the church professing Christianity is a mess. You've got this Nicene creeds and all these guys fussing and fighting and squabbling over silly stuff, crazy ideas and heresies of doctrine. And the church, as far as a loose category of church, is a mess. And they disagree with all the ideas of, quote, Christianity, except one thing. Except one thing. They all agree that Jesus raised from the dead. It has been throughout history that Christianity recognizes that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrected. The burial was a fact. The empty tomb was a fact. But again, what did the 12 apostles have to gain with all this if it was just a lie? By Acts chapter 7, over 10,000 believers in Jesus Christ lived in the city of Jerusalem. Over 10,000. They're still buying into it. So if the body was stolen, if it was a conspiracy, then we're all frauds. If there was no resurrection, then our preaching is in vain. Some have said, well, what if the Jews, what if the Jews of the elite decided to steal the body? Like, we'll show them. Now, if they did that, they're sitting around at the coffee shop after this, quote, resurrection, then all they got to do is say, oh, by the way, he didn't rise, the body's right here. And you would debunk the whole thing. Now, if they'd stolen the body, why wouldn't you then come back and say, there it is. We made you all be fools. Because if you didn't do that, then you give credit to a resurrected Savior. And remember, John said, my Lord and my God. He said, I saw him alive, a risen Savior. There's too much evidence. In Acts chapter 1, he said, infallible proofs infallible proofs. Meaning that you just can't find any loopholes with the thing. Christianity is the only religion that has a founder that's still alive. Still alive. Seated at the right hand of God. You always get this, and there's always the one skeptic. Well, I don't know. Listen, buddy, you're the one that believes that there were big dinosaurs and they got them all figured out based on a bone. You ever consider how absurd that is, really? Let's think about this. Billions and billions of years ago, you find a bone, and now you know what color and where we could fly through the sky and its name. You work for the wrong department. We want you to find a fingerprint or a footprint and tell us what the guy looked like that robbed your house. Don't look at us and say we're nuts. Because there was an empty tomb, and there's historical fact of a Savior, and he was crucified, and there is no body. And now if he is risen, then would he not also have the power to give an individual, a human being, victory over sins? You see, I asked three men to stand up and give a testimony. But of those three men, if you knew their true stories, you wouldn't sit beside them. If you knew their past and their thoughts and their wickedness. But Jesus changed them. Jesus changed them. Risen Savior. Why would we not be associated with him? Why would we not say, I serve a risen Savior? And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I can have victory over sin, and it is not a waste of my time, but rather, it is valued with my time. So what about you? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for you that, what have you done with the Savior? You're really left with three options. Some of you have heard this many times. Jesus is either to you one of three options, no other choice. Either one option would be he is a liar. His whole life was just a lie. You could choose that option. I don't agree with it, but that some say that he's just a liar. You could say he's a liar. Some say that he's just a lunatic. He was just crazy. And the only other third option you've got is that he was Lord. Either he is one of the three to you, a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And you must choose. A risen Savior. The tomb was empty. He ever liveth and seateth at the right hand of God. Over 512 witnesses saw him ascend into heaven and saw him after the resurrection. Why would you not serve him? But to serve him, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15, you've got to believe the gospel. The gospel is the good news, is that I know you're a sinner, but Jesus died for sinners. And he was crucified, and he was buried, and he rose again. And the offer of salvation is saying, do you believe that? Not join a church. Not get baptized. No good works. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, whosoever will. It's an open invitation. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, I wouldn't walk out those two red doors of this big red barn church without asking Jesus Christ to save me. See how to do that, preacher? Admit I'm a sinner. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for me, and I'm asking him today to save me from my sins. You said, do I have to come forward and do all that Baptist tradition? No. No. You don't. It's not about me. I don't save anybody. He saves. You could be right there where you're at right now as I'm preaching, as I finish up, and I'm going to close in prayer, and we'll sing a song, and we'll be dismissed, we'll be done. You can have all your festivities of Easter. But man, the Holy Ghost this morning, there's something stirred within you, and there's a conviction, a funny feeling, and you say, I just don't know if I go to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. Why don't you trust Jesus Christ? Some of you have tried everything in life. And probably 20 years ago, if I said you're going to 20 years later today, you'd be in church, you'd have laughed at me. I mean, just the mere fact of you walking in church today, for some of you, God goes, whoa. It's pretty cool. I mean, that in itself put a smile on God's face. Oh, but today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You're here for a reason, and the Holy Spirit spoke to you. And the preacher preached about the resurrection. Well, you knew it was coming. Why don't you do something with Jesus? Accept Him as your Savior today. If you're saved, you're a Christian, you're a child of God, stand up for Jesus. He died for you, and He's risen for you. Claim Him and live for Him. A risen founder, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand, and we're going to pray. Father, we sure thank You for this time today. And Lord, I ask right now, if there's an individual that is not saved, they've never been born again, may the Holy Spirit right now stir their heart. If they need somebody to show them salvation, we'd be glad to. We'd be glad to open up the Bible and show them some more verses and point to them Jesus. But the truth is, they've had something already right now say, you need Jesus. And God, I pray that they would just right where they're standing, their head bowed, and in prayer admit they're a sinner and ask You for salvation. You promised to give it through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for Christ being the Savior, the Redeemer. As Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And to think this morning that we serve a risen Savior. This is Pastor Jeremy Wilson. We sure appreciate you listening to this service today. We hope that it was a help to you and your endeavors to study and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can be a help, be sure to check us out online at hbcpicayune.com.